Major funding for the connection is provided by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. A voice from the past, a familiar voice, one that's almost too low for a radio's range.
Our nation has come to symbolize man's capacity to master his destiny. It is a proud legacy.
That's Henry Kissinger, 1975, at the time Richard Nixon's Secretary of State and National Security Advisor. The Kissinger legacy includes both war and peace in Vietnam, the opening of China, an attempt at détente with the Soviet Union, shuttle diplomacy in the Middle East, and backroom dealings in Latin America. He is the ultimate diplomat of realpolitik and has been called everything from the country's most brilliant foreign policy thinker to a war criminal. But don't close the book yet. Kissinger, age 79, has taken on a new public task. President Bush has appointed him to head the independent commission investigating September 11. Within a week or so, we should know the final makeup of the 10-person panel. Connection listeners, join us today to talk about Henry Kissinger and this new commission. What does Bush's choice mean to you, and what will Kissinger mean for the 9/11 investigation? The number to call is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're going to go first to Steve Push. He's a spokesman for the group Families of September 11th and for the Coalition for a 9/11 Independent Commission, and he's joining us on the line. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Tell me, was your group consulted in this choice?
Well, not really. The White House came to us the day before they named the appointment and asked us for who we would like to see on the commission. But then I found out after we supplied them with those names that they had offered the position to Dr. Kissinger the day before they asked us for that list.
So what do you think of the choice? What do you think of Dr. Kissinger to head this commission?
Well, he wasn't on our list, and I know he's very controversial, but he has excellent skills and obviously an extremely intelligent man, knows foreign policy and the ways of Washington. So we're satisfied. He's saying the right things. He's promised a no-hold-bars investigation. He's promised to meet with the families, and we will be meeting with him next week. We're at this point willing to give him our support and hold him to his promise that it will be a thorough investigation.
And in a nutshell, Steve, what is it that your groups hope Kissinger can do?
What we want to do is learn everything that can be learned about the mistakes that left the country so vulnerable on September 11th, 2001, and hear recommendations for what the country can do to prevent such a horrible tragedy from occurring again in the future.
Steve, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Steve Push, spokesman for the group Families of September 11th. With me for the hour now, Ambassador Winston Lord. He worked with Kissinger at the National Security Council and in the State Department as his director of policy planning. Winston later became ambassador to China and is now co-chair of the International Rescue Committee, a group that works with refugees. He's joining us on the line from New York. Here in the studio, Ambassador John Shattuck. He was a lawyer for the ACLU through the 70s and early 80s. Later, Bill Clinton's Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor, and then Ambassador to the Czech Republic. He's now CEO of the John F. Kennedy Library Foundation. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ambassador Lord, let me start with you. You know Mr. Kissinger pretty well. What do you think of his choice to head this commission?
I think it's an outstanding choice, and I think the families who we just heard from will be very pleased as this commission proceeds with its work. He brings incredible stature, experience, as your lead-in said, international vision. As the family spokesman said, tremendous knowledge of the way Washington works. He's tough. He's smart. Anybody of this stature is going to be controversial after a long and distinguished career. But you have someone here who's going to be looking for his place in the history books. He didn't need this assignment, probably didn't want it. I think it's a tremendous advantage that he has all this experience, and yet he has not served in any administration for 25 years, and therefore he's got nothing to protect or to be sensitive about in terms of the particular issues of the commission. So overall, I think it's an outstanding choice to be paired with Senator Mitchell.
Ambassador Shattuck, you're not so enthusiastic about the choice.
Well, I think if it's an astute way to shield the executive branch from the kind of external constraints that they fear at this very dangerous time when the war on terrorism is their principal preoccupation, it is a good choice. But if it's to, as Steve Push and his group hope, to get at the facts of what really happened and what needs to be done to assure that it doesn't happen again, and also, above all, to fearlessly question the very roots of our government's effort to try to prevent these kinds of events, then I think it's a more questionable choice. And I think
Why is that, John? What's lacking in the choice of Kissinger? What can't he or wouldn't he or won't he do?
I think what Kissinger has obviously got an instinctive feel for is foreign policy. What is far less clear is whether he has an instinctive feel for the workings of open society. And an open democratic society is what, above all, we're trying to protect. Now, the hallmark of his service, which was certainly outstanding in many dimensions, including the opening of China and his tremendous initiatives in the Middle East, but nonetheless, the hallmarks of his service were excessive secrecy, I think a very strong resistance to human rights as a element of foreign policy, and indeed even in the domestic sphere, I think a weakness on the civil liberties front, where he went along and in some cases helped lead President Nixon's effort to root out leakers by wiretapping them without court orders and warrants. So we have, you know, a record that is, I think, a little uncertain at the very best in terms of how he would behave as the head of this kind of inquiry. Foreign policy, great strength, and clearly an enormous figure in that regard.
Let me stop you there. I want to hear from Ambassador Lord about the secrecy aspect, for example. It's one that we hear and read perhaps more about than anything else.
First, let me say I'm glad to be on this program with John Shattuck. We worked very closely together in the early 1990s, but we obviously have a major disagreement on the Kissinger appointment. This appointment proves once again that no good deed goes unpublished. You have a 79-year-old man who has served his country for decades who doesn't need this assignment. All he's going to get is sleazy New York Times editorials and criticism, as we're beginning to hear today. And I think he ought to be applauded for his patriotism and unselfishness. The fact that he's controversial shouldn't be held against him, in my view. Senator Mitchell was bitterly partisan as a majority leader. He probably has as many international clients as Kissinger, and he's taken the exact same stance as Henry has about disclosing these or conflicts of interest. And yet I think Mitchell's an outstanding appointment, so we should steer clear of double standards. Now, on the secrecy question, I'd be the first to admit, I'm not here to say that Henry is without flaws. Who is? And he did have a penchant for secrecy. I would point out the following elements, however. When he was operating in the Nixon White House, this was 30 years ago. It was a different world. The world has changed. I believe Kissinger, in many respects, has changed. What is important is how he's going to operate this commission. It would not be possible in today's world and with the mandate of this commission for Henry's secretive instincts to be in play here. He's going to be looking to the history books. I would note in passing that secrecy isn't all bad. I'm not sure we could have opened up with China if we hadn't had it. Furthermore, you're going to get eight other commissioners appointed here, so I don't quite see how this works in practice, that Henry's going to be non-transparent of secrecy. He doesn't have any reason to be that way in terms of the history books, which is all he's looking to at this point in his life. And how are the other nine commissioners, including Mitchell, going to let him be secret or protective? So
When you say it was a different world 30 years ago, what do you mean by that? What was so different 30 years ago?
Well, I think it's a lot harder now, and I think it's all a plus in many respects to operate secret diplomacy or to shield the workings, as many presidents did, by the way, not just Nixon, but before and after him. There's still some secret elements in diplomacy, and sometimes you need that, like the opening to China. But I do think there's much more accountability in the press and the Congress, And I think the world has changed in those respects. It's much more difficult to operate as was done then. But again, I would point out there were many major successes during that period.
Ambassador Shattuck, a different man today, Henry Kissinger?
Well, let me return the compliment to Winston. It's wonderful to be on the program here with you, Winston. And, of course, we had many discussions inside the government. I'm glad to have this one with you here today. I mean, let me just pick up on the secrecy point and point to two very specific examples. The Pentagon Papers publication in 1971 is, widely regarded as one of the major watersheds of open government when it finally came out. But certainly the resistance to that publication by Henry Kissinger was well-documented, well-known, and in fact, he was really in many ways the intellectual leader to try to prevent it from coming out. Now, one could differ with the perspective that it should have come out, but I think the excessive attention to secrecy there was clear. On the case of Cambodia and the secret bombing of Cambodia, the extension of the Vietnam War into Cambodia without notification, without any transparency, I think is another example. Now, yes, this was 30 years ago, to be sure, but we have basic principles of open government which we'd like to be able to pursue today. I think this is going to be a very hard job. Don't get me wrong, and I think Henry Kissinger has many of the all of the intellectual tools and many of the policy tools to be able to perform it. But I think there are real questions about his record here.
Could I respond to both the Pentagon and Cambodia, Pentagon Papers and Cambodia issues? It'll take a little time. I'll be as fast as I can. On the Pentagon Papers, first of all, I do think, and I was there at the time, that it is outrageous to leak top secret information in the middle of negotiations, which we were conducting, and in the middle of an opening to China, which was based on trust on both sides. But having said whatever one's view on that, Kissinger was protecting future presidents. The papers all had to do with the Kennedy and Johnson administrations. There was absolutely nothing in there to embarrass or even be relevant to the Nixon or Kissinger administration. And he could easily, they were embarrassing to previous administrations, which left Nixon and Kissinger with 550,000 American troops in Vietnam, by the way. And so Kissinger was defending the principle that in the middle of complex negotiations, not only, as I say, with the Vietnamese, but the Chinese and the Russians, this was not a good practice, and he was trying to protect future presidents. There was nothing in it for him to defend his pact except unpopularity and attacks like people like John now mounting because it was previous administrations. That's the Pentagon Papers. On Cambodia, one can disagree on this, and we can disagree on every element of the Vietnam War, but let me explain the reason for the secrecy. It may not be persuasive to all your listeners. The North Vietnamese occupied Cambodia and Laos for many years, and what they would do in Cambodia is come over the border, kill American troops, kill South Vietnamese, and then retreat back over the border. The president decided, whether one agrees with it or not, that this was an unfair inflicting on American casualties. He undertook the bombing only along the border of Cambodia, and Sihanouk acquiesced in this. He was running the country. If it had been made public, Sihanouk would have to have denounced it, but he preferred to have the Americans bomb the North Vietnamese along the border, but couldn't do so if this was public.
Ambassador Lord, I'm going to stop you there because we have to step away for a short break. I'll get you to finish that thought when we come back. Connection listeners, the choice of Henry Kissinger to head the 9/11 Commission. 1-800-423-8255. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. Our number's 1-800-423-TALK. And this hour, a conversation about Henry Kissinger, a controversial choice of the man to lead the Commission of Inquiry into what happened on September 11th, 2001. With me on the program today, Ambassador Winston Lord, who's co-chair of the International Rescue Committee, a group resettling refugees from around the world in the United States. But working with Henry Kissinger was on the National Security Staff and then State Department Director of Policy Planning, was in fact right-hand man on trips to China and Vietnam. With me in the studio, John Shattuck, Chief Executive Officer of the John F. Kennedy Library Foundation. In the 1990s, he was Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor in the Clinton administration and was ambassador to the Czech Republic. Once again, our number is 1-800-423-8255. And Ambassador Lord, I had to interrupt you as you were talking about Cambodia.
Yeah, let me run over that very quickly again. Again, people can disagree on this, but the North Vietnamese had violated Cambodian and Laos sovereignty for many years. They were along the border, coming in, killing American and South Vietnamese troops, and retreating back over the border. Nixon decided to bomb only along the border North Vietnamese troops. Sihanouk running Cambodia acquiesced in this, couldn't do so if it was made public, but was happy to have it done as long as it was kept secret. That was the reasoning for the secrecy. One can disagree with it, but I don't think it's an implausible, immoral case to be attacking North Vietnamese troops who are violating another country. So that would be the position on that issue.
All right. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. And connection listeners, we will be going to your calls shortly, and we'll talk a little bit about the past, but we also want to talk about the president. Ambassador Shattuck, Dr. Kissinger has to write the rules for this commission and then follow those rules. How wide, how narrow, how is he going to decide what it is he has to look at?
Well, these commissions are often very self-defined, and I think, as you say, Henry Kissinger is going to have to, along with George Mitchell, write the rules and determine where to go. But I think there are four major topics that need to be addressed. One is basic fact-finding. What happened in both immediate terms of September 11th and in longer-range terms of the rise of al-Qaeda? A second, and perhaps even more important, is what could have been done to prevent what happened, and what intelligence existed that wasn't acted on, and what were the failures of intelligence. And here I think Henry Kissinger, despite all of the record that I've been citing and that Winston has been admirably defending, I think there are some reasons to believe that Kissinger may be very good at digging into the intelligence failures and making prescriptions. Then the third area is, what are the roots of terrorism beyond the immediate motivation of the attackers? And here I'm very skeptical about how far this commission will go under his direction, because I think there we need to look at such topics as human rights abuse, repression, the swamp of places like Afghanistan under the Taliban, and how our failure perhaps to address human rights issues for a long time may have caused that. And then finally, of course, there needs to be a prescription for the future. And in a sense, we have to determine how we can strengthen our homeland security without destroying our civil liberties. And here again, the record of Dr. Kissinger is somewhat doubtful in terms of his pursuit of that last point. But I think there are pluses as well as minuses in what he brings to those four points that I've outlined.
All right, Ambassador Lord, I'll put you back in your policy planning chair here. See if you agree with that breakdown and what you make of it.
Yeah, I think it's a good summary of what the commission should be up to. And I take John feels that Henry would be good on the first couple.
First one.
Well, I don't know, fact-finding, I think he'd also be good at it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, and also what could have prevented it. I think you said he'd be good at that as well. Let's keep in mind, by the way, this is a 10-person commission. You already have Senator Mitchell, and we'll have eight others. I assume they'll be distinguished and bipartisan. So Kissinger or Kissinger-Mitchell can't run this thing by themselves. And also, who they choose as executive director and the staff will be absolutely crucial in terms of the detailed knowledge of how to go about addressing the issues that John has raised. So I think it would be a mistake to think that one person can run this commission. Also, I do want to return to Henry's motives now. Whatever his past records, and I've disagreed with him on the proper role of human rights versus realpolitik and other aspects in foreign policy at times. But right now, he is looking to the history books, and I don't think he's going to want to do anything that would smack of shying away from controversial issues. I think if the roots of terrorism, I agree with John Shattuck, means you've got to look at issues like democracy and human rights. And whatever Henry's predilections generally in foreign policy, when you have 8, 9 other commissioners and the staff, I think you're going to find full attention to those kinds of dimensions. So I think the strengths he brings, which John has acknowledged some of them and I've stressed some others, will be a major plus, and where he may be somewhat questionable, I think the combination of looking to the history books and being kept honest by nine other commissioners and the staff and the public and the media will mean this will be a very strong operation led by Henry and George Mitchell.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Let's go first to Lexington, Massachusetts. Peter's on the line. Hi, Peter.
Yes, I think one of the things that is unlikely to be addressed by Kissinger, though I may be wrong, I may be pleasantly surprised, is the atmospherics of decades of policy that have presented Saudi Arabia as a as far from being a place we ought to worry about, a place that is positively benign. And as the great J.B. Kelly has said, for years the State Department, in successive hearings before congressional committees, spun a tale about the Saudi ruling house, its rise to power, its mode of government, and its conduct towards its neighbors that the ghost of Scheherazade could not have bettered. And
Peter, are you saying that Kissinger would be just the right person to get into this?
No, he's just the wrong person, and I'll tell you why. These past 25 years of supposedly selfless, his selfless dedication to the country, have been spent as a seller of influence to companies and government. Now, is he likely to investigate John C. West, who, when he was ambassador to Saudi Arabia, obtained a job for his friend Crawford Cook as a head of public relations for the Saudis, or at least an advisor, or what James Akins has been doing for the past 25 years?
Peter, let me stop you there and ask Ambassador Lord.
The CIA people, the one who became the head of the Faisal, advisor to the Faisal Foundation, who were at least six CIA.
Okay, Peter, let me just stop you there and ask Ambassador Lord about this.
Well, first, I agree with the caller about Saudi Arabia being a very crucial element of this, and extreme ambivalence as a minimum we ought to have about its operations and its role in terrorism. So this should be a major aspect for the commission. Again, a commission of 10 people. Now, Kissinger has expressly said that he doesn't have any clients with Middle Eastern governments. I don't know about Mitchell. He has taken the same position on Kissinger about disclosing possible conflicts. But this is a problem. I think it is a major problem, and it goes well beyond Kissinger's views on Saudi Arabia. It has to do with this administration and previous ones balancing off oil, balancing off use of air bases and other bases for military operations versus the appalling human rights, including the treatment of women and everything else that the listener has alluded to. So I think let me ask you to
speak to Peter's second point, which is that when one takes one's high standing in government and then uses that as a consultant, Peter talks about selling influence, you're then in the sort of compromising position where it's difficult to criticize other people doing the same thing.
Well, let me say first, I happen to be clean on this because I've never done it, but I've been financially fairly comfortable, so it's easy for me to take this position. But if you're going to rule out everybody who, having left government, then consults or deals with other governments or international businesses or works in Washington to that effect, then you're going to have nobody leading this commission, including Senator Mitchell. So I don't quite understand that particular point.
John.
Yeah, my concern here is some of what Dr. Kissinger has been saying over the weekend, and I hope he says some other things that put us more at ease. But he does not seem to feel the need to distance himself from his consulting firm during the time that he's going to be doing this inquiry. He says he will be the best judge of whether or not there's a conflict of interest. And I think that's really not an appropriate way to go about it. That's the same, I would apply obviously the same standard to any commissioner, including Mitchell, for that matter. I want to make a larger point, though, and take tweak Winston a little bit on the looking to the history books point. I think the record for Henry Kissinger suggests that if he is now looking to the history books, probably he has a very strong incentive to look at relationships that have been forged over the years during many of the periods of time when he was in influence and in government. Indicate that those relationships, including the one with Saudi Arabia, were not at the root of the problem that emerged on September 11th. And so, as I said at the very beginning of the program, if there is a need to kind of protect the executive branch so it's free to operate in the war against terrorism, I think Dr. Kissinger is an extremely good choice. But I don't think you're going to see the kind of very vigorous independent inquiry that that the caller was suggesting is needed, particularly in the case of Saudi Arabia.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Madison, Wisconsin now, and John's on the line. Hi, John.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think Kissinger is the worst possible choice, and what I base this on is I've read several of his books, including Diplomacy. And Henry Kissinger kind of fashions himself after that bloody Cardinal Richelieu and Bismarck, the Iron Chancellor. And this guy's whole philosophy is, and it's been this way throughout his entire life, is whatever is good for the United States, whatever that may be, and conventional morality be damned. And time again, he said it takes character to rise above conventional morality. It's almost like an Ubermensch mentality on his part, on the side of whatever he perceives as what is good for America. You know, you can look at what he did in overthrowing Allende in Chile, the weapons sign-off in East Timor, the secret bombing of Cambodia, the sellout of the Kurds. You know, this guy over and over again has said he doesn't care about what has to be done as long as what needs to be done gets done.
And what about the idea, John, that he would or could use that same sort of relentless enthusiasm to say, okay, what's good for America in finding out about 9/11?
You're missing the point.
No, I'm not.
I hear your point.
I'm just saying, you know, can you look at it from the other side and say maybe what you need is someone who will say convention be damned?
If he finds what comes out is in what he perceives as being contrary to American interests, he will minimize it, he will suppress it, he will distort it. This guy believes in keeping things secret. He believes that policy should only be done by the professionals and the public should be excluded. Anything that's going to come out, I guarantee you, Kissinger will act the same way he has his entire life. It's the good of America, and there's no higher morality than that.
All right, John, thanks very much for your call. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Ambassador Lord, it seems like people have been doing a lot of reading over the last 25 years since Henry Kissinger left public life.
Well, let me make several points here. First, I'm not as upset as that last call of his about defending American interests as being a very high priority. I can't think of a higher priority in foreign policy. Much of the rest of what he said is unrecognizable to me, and it's just a screed that I think we can just ignore. What your listeners, many of you may not know because of their age, is just how much good Henry did, as well as some bad things, and nobody's perfect. And he's been short in some areas, including some of the ones mentioned. But many listeners may not remember that in the mid-70s, Henry Kissinger was the most admired and trusted man in the United States, and much of his star was known at that point. Most of his star was known. And abroad, he held this country together in the wake of Watergate, when there was great suspicion of the executive branch and the presidency, and single-handedly kept this foreign policy afloat. He not only opened up to China, he eased relations with Russia. He started the peace process in the Middle East. He worked hard to bring about independence for Rhodesia, which then became Zimbabwe. So the revisionists have had a field day the last 25 years, but I think your listeners who were not around at that time or not that old should remember just how towering a figure he was before the revisionists went to work. Furthermore, having been out of power for 25 years, he doesn't have anything to protect. He hasn't been dealing as a government official with the Saudis or others in recent years. And I just can't understand why he would want to be accused of protecting governments or tarnishing his reputation in the final years of his role in life for the history books. I just disagree with John on that point.
John, why do you suppose it is that the Bush administration chose Henry Kissinger?
Well, I think we've been getting at his virtues as well as the flaws in the record, and I think they've chosen the virtues, and to some extent they see the flaws in the record as being advantageous for this particular inquiry. I do think that this inquiry, which President Bush has resisted from the very beginning, is seen to be something of an irritant from the administration's point of view, and I think Henry Kissinger's capacity to really astutely address the need for such a commission without doing any significant damage from the point of view of the administration to what it's trying to accomplish is very clear. I think on the question of, I agree totally with Winston Lord that certainly national interests are the critical issue here, and the question is how to define them. And I have some question as to whether Henry Kissinger will define national interests sufficiently broadly to encompass such issues as human rights and democracy. I think the record indicates both in Chile and East Timor and various other cases we could cite that certainly he hasn't been particularly attentive to those issues. But I'm not going to dwell on history. I think the real question is, what will he do today? And I hope that in looking at the roots of terrorism, he will address democracy and human rights problems.
And Ambassador Lord, you, based on your knowledge of Dr. Kissinger, if he comes across something which is highly critical of the president, is he going to put that in bold type in his report?
I think he will, because he doesn't owe this administration or this administration's father, Bush number one, any favors. They have not used him in any way. He's not looking for another job at the age of 79. He's looking, again, to maintain and increase his reputation in the history books, as I've said very often. And again, let's keep remembering, this is not just Kissinger running this thing. You're not going to have people in this commission who are going to be patsies for Henry, whatever he wants to do. You're not going to have a staff that is going to roll over. So even if Kissinger wanted to thwart some of the aspects of this commission, he couldn't possibly do so when you have people like Mitchell and eight others working with him. I think John is absolutely right, though. I think it is fair to say that, because I do agree that human rights and democracy are important prescriptions as well as analysis of the roots of terrorism. And Henry has not been as forceful on this as I would have liked over the years. I think he's mellowed somewhat on this, but I do think, for all the reasons I've mentioned, that there's no way that he can ignore or others will let him ignore these dimensions.
Connection listeners, our number is 1-800-423-8255. Ambassador Lord points to a time when Henry Kissinger's face was most likely to appear on Time magazine than pretty well anyone else in this country, a time when his influence in the world was literally unparalleled. And we're interested in knowing whether or not that stands next to or equal to criticism that has been made of him over the past few years, and your thoughts on his choice to head the 9/11 Commission. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. Available on the web at www.macromedia.com.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. This hour, a conversation about the decision of the president to choose Dr. Henry Kissinger as the man who will head up the 9/11 Commission, investigating everything that came before and on the day of, and I suppose afterwards as well, with a view to look ahead. He has yet to choose eight commissioners who will sit with him and former Senator George Mitchell on the commission. They will have a year and a half to look at this. And Ambassador Lord, I want to begin with you with a question that you've mentioned a couple of times, these eight other people. Because part of the record that Mr. Kissinger has left is that he's a bit of a lone wolf, that he may not be the team player who's going to push his chair back and let the other nine people make decisions about what the commission ought to be doing or what witnesses ought to be heard, that he's very much his own man.
Well, first, I think, as I understand it, the other commissioners will not be chosen by Henry or by Mitchell, as you suggested,
right.
Although I'm sure they'll
Thanks
be consulted.
That.
I believe the Congress chooses those, the Republicans and Democrats, for each. I could be wrong on that, but it's
No, I think
not.
You're right. That was my mistake.
Secondly, you're not going to have people agreeing to join this if they think they're going to be patsies for anybody. And I expect people of considerable stature and experience to join this commission, and they're not about to sit by and let Henry run over them. So I assume they will have some understandings as they join this operation. I just don't think it's possible with talk shows like this and the media and the Congress and the family sensitivities above all that Henry Kissinger would want to or would be able to steer this thing in a distorted fashion. I just don't think it's possible, and I don't think he'd want to do it in any event.
Our number is 1-800-423-8255. We'll go to Madison, Wisconsin. Bill's on the line. Hi, Bill.
I just would like to point out, your guest was making the point before that he doesn't believe Mr. Kissinger is beholden to the Bush administration in any way. And I'd just like to point out that the Bush administration's refusal to have the United States be involved in the world court is probably the only thing that's keeping him from being indicted as a war criminal at this point.
Based on what?
Well, I've just read that there's many countries in the world that would like to bring him up on charges if we were involved in the world court, and that he's probably the person who would be most likely to be indicted amongst anybody in the United States. And the Bush administration refuses to have anything to do with the world court. We're not involved in it. We're amongst many of the industrialized nations, we're the ones who are refusing to be involved.
John, what do you think about the suggestion that if there in fact was U.S. participation in a court like this, that Kissinger would be brought up on charges? Certainly, it appears all the time in the, you know, Christopher Hitchens writing, Seymour Hersh, William Shawcross are among people who Winston Lord's talked about, has written very critical material about Kissinger. But based on what we know, what do you think?
Well, the spotlight is certainly on Henry Kissinger and this area of war crimes, perhaps more than any other American. Whether that's justified is a question that I'm not prepared to answer and don't know the answer to. But I do think that certainly it does point to the record that he has over many years in the field of human rights. And perhaps in Chile is the most dramatic example, where you had a coup against a democratically elected president, Salvador Allende, followed by a military dictatorship of Auguste Pinochet, which was one of the worst human rights offenders in the last 30 years. And Henry Kissinger was very actively engaged in supporting that change that took place for reasons having to do with his view of the geostrategic challenges that we faced in that part of the world. We being the United States, I would have disagreed very strongly with him had I been in office at the time. But that is at the root of one of the charges that are out there against him on the war crimes front. There are others as well. I don't think that should be the only issue that we focus on in looking at whether this is an appointment that will ultimately bring this commission forward so that it can do something effective. I think there are a lot of other reasons why I'm dubious about whether the commission under Kissinger's leadership will be able to perform what it needs to do. I don't think the war crimes issue is by any means determinative of whether that's the case.
Ambassador Lord, let me hear
from you. First of all, John, I think you really may want to think about leaving on the record here you're not knowing whether or not Henry Kissinger is a war criminal. I mean, that is an incredible, I believe, outrageous thing to be ambivalent about. You can be very critical of his record and some of his policies, and I disagree with some of his policies, but to say you're not sure whether or not he's a war criminal, I think you may want to edit that before.
I didn't say whether or not he's a war criminal.
Well,
said I'm not prepared
to judge.
I'm not prepared to make determinations of what his role was in various things that others can make their judgment of. I don't personally think he's a war criminal.
Well,
I'm glad
you said that, because you didn't say that 2 minutes ago. So I think I'm glad you've corrected the record.
Well, but I also want to make sure that the record is open for others to work on.
Well, I think to even think that Henry could consider war criminal really is really an outrageous accusation. Now, if you're going to say that, then I assume you would consider JFK, whose library you run, also a war criminal. His implication in the Diem assassination is much more egregious and clear than anything Kissinger did in Chile. So if you're going to be ambivalent about Henry or not, I assume you're at least ambivalent about President Kennedy.
Well, let's be very specific about this. I am not ambivalent about the service of Henry Kissinger as a Secretary of State who made enormous difference in the world in many ways. I do not know enough about any person's activities to make my own accusations, and I am not going to sit here and accuse Dr. Kissinger or JFK or anyone else of actions that someone else might consider to be war crimes. That is not my purpose in having this conversation.
Do you think, though, Winston, that the fixation on this, and it's there in the newspapers, it's not just here on this program, is something that is in any way relevant to a consideration of Dr. Kissinger's standing as someone who can head this commission?
Well, I want to be as fair as I can here. I think anybody who's appointed, people ought to have a hard look at them, including Senator Mitchell and his being very partisan in the past and his having international clients. I applaud the Mitchell appointment as well, by the way. So I think anybody ought to be examined. I think it's fair to raise these questions, particularly given the secrecy and human rights dimensions. I don't deny some of these dimensions. I've tried to answer them. So I think it's fair that people should look at it. But I do think to prejudge Henry like the New York Times and its editorial and some others have done, not to mention the visceral Kissinger haters, is really a disservice. It's not fair to the families who ought to be encouraged by this appointment. It's not fair to the American public. It's certainly not fair to Kissinger. I really feel it's an outstanding appointment. It should be questioned, but I think this will fade as people see how he and his fellow nine commissioners run this inquiry.
Let's go to Virginia Beach, Virginia, and William's waiting on the line. Hi, William.
Yes, good afternoon.
Thanks for
my
calling.
My question is basically, who does the commission answer to? And what brings this up was immediately after the announcement of his appointment to this commission, he said that in one way or another he had served, I believe he said, seven presidents. And if any embarrassing information comes out of this, he's not there to serve the president. He's there to serve the American public. And who do they really answer to? I'll take my answer off the air.
William, thanks a lot for calling. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Any question about that, Ambassador Shattuck, who he serves?
Well, he was appointed by President Bush, and the statute that created the commission, of course, was enacted by the Congress. So I think he's accountable very specifically both to President Bush and to the Congress. And, of course, in a broader sense, he's very much accountable to the American people. And I think that's just as it should be. I don't think there is any one specific reporting relationship that he has. It's a very important and broad reporting relationship.
Everything that he investigates and chooses to include in a report will be made public. That's not at issue, is it?
Absolutely.
And should we look perhaps, Ambassador Lord, at something like the Warren Commission as an example of this sort of thing? We were casting about in the office for whether or not that stood as an example that Dr. Kissinger can use.
Well, John may be more familiar with the details of that than I am. That certainly was bipartisan, and was looking at what happened. So there's some similarities there. I don't recall, however, whether it got into the prescription business, because part of this commission's mandate, as John pointed out and others have, is not only to discover what went wrong in the past, but how to fix it. And therefore, it's a report, as John said, to these various audiences, including future presidents, and the American people in Congress and the families, I might add, affected. And so it's got a very broad mandate. And I think that listener underlined Kissinger's correctness in defining his role and who he's answering to, no matter who it's embarrassing to, including the present administration.
Yeah, this is not an investigative commission, or at least limited to be an investigative commission, as the Warren Commission was, for example. I mean, that was really a fact-finding inquiry. This is fact-finding and prescriptive, and I think it is very broad in that respect. It's a daunting task, and certainly intellectually I cannot think of anyone better than Henry Kissinger to take it on. But it does have all these various dimensions that we're talking about, and certainly no one individual is going to be perfect for any one of them. And I certainly hope that with the other commissioners and George Mitchell's active involvement, all of these various dimensions will be tackled.
Does that mean that a commission of this nature, held in this time when the television cameras are so much a part of our life, will hold all its hearings on camera, where people can see the testimony? Are these rules that Dr. Kissinger and Senator Mitchell and the others will get to shape themselves?
Well, I think there'd be a combination of public hearings, and then there's some things you're going to want to explore in terms of candor and sensitivity and getting the real facts in private. So it'll be a combination. But as we've already suggested in our conversation, the findings and the prescriptions, all of that will be perfectly public, but there may be some times where you're going to want to confidentially interview people to get the real facts.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to set their own parameters. I would certainly hope a great deal of this would be public, but no commission ever operates completely in public. There are fact-finding aspects of it that will take place in private. And again, I would hope that all of the record of the proceedings would be public.
And Winston, tell me something. I want to go back to where we were at the beginning of the program, when we were talking about how things are so much different today from the way they were when you and Dr. Kissinger were in State Department, and whether or not that actually makes it easier or more difficult to conduct a commission like this today.
Well, I don't know whether it's easier or more difficult. It's more appropriate. I mean, this, given the trauma that not only the families but the whole nation suffered, and given the dangers to our national security and the need to have prescriptions, and given the healing process that's required, I think it's very important that it be done openly, and so therefore, I don't know whether that makes it more difficult or not, but it's certainly more appropriate.
And as bipartisan as both sides are saying, the work needs to be, John, the commission's report is going to come out in the late spring of 2004, months before a presidential election. How do you keep this thing apolitical, or can you?
Well, I think that I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to bring it up myself. I do think that this is an extremely volatile political enterprise in that respect because of the timing of it. Maybe that was unavoidable. I'm not quite sure why the 18-month time frame was set. Perhaps it could have been longer. That might have made more sense. Certainly there's plenty to do, so I'm surprised that it then reports in the spring of 2004. But that will indeed turn this into a political football at the time that the report comes out and the run-up to it, and then what happens afterward in the presidential campaign.
Winston, maybe that makes Kissinger the right person to lead it.
You've got to have Kissinger and Mitchell and four more on either side, and I think you could make a case that maybe they should have come out after the election, give them 2 years to do the job. I assume they felt they needed at least a year and a half, and if they did it any later in 2004, it got even closer to the election. But I agree with John. It's going to be politically very sensitive. I would hope we'd find, as the Senate Intelligence Committees, remember, we have a lot to build on already in the House Intelligence Committees.
I have to stop you there, Winston Lord. We're out of time.
It's a shame to go around.
But I want to thank you for being a part of the program today. Winston Lord, co-chair of the International Rescue Committee, former colleague of Henry Kissinger. John Shattuck, thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much, Dick.
Ambassador Shattuck, CEO of the JFK Library Foundation. My name's Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.
Funding for The Connection is made possible by Macromedia, the software company helping to redefine what the web can be. To purchase cassettes and CDs of The Connection, please visit www.theconnection.org or phone 1-800-909-9287.